The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Justin, why don't you let us know who's here real quick, and then let's fire this fucker up.
Hey, yeah, I've been meaning to get these guys on. My good buddies and trainers from the gym that I've been working at, and I have all the admiration for these guys. These are three of the guys that I looked up to as I was coming in, and they're all kind of like the same age range. We got like the same amount of experience behind us. They all kind of have
all the elite guys,
all their kind of different specialties about them, very unique. Anyway, we have Mitch, we got Dennis, we got Neil from Stick Mobility, and they're here to kind of break it down for us and let us know, you know, what that's all about and how it all got started and, you know, how people can benefit from this. So why don't you go ahead and just introduce yourself a little bit. We'll start with Mitch and tell us a little bit about your background. And, you know, I know he's a sports trainer and everything, and that's kind of like one of the main focuses, but you know, if you want to add anything.
How long have you been doing it for, Bubba?
So I've been in the business for, this is my 20th year. Nice. So going on, I've been a fitness director. You know, I taught certification courses for National College of Exercise Professionals. I mostly, like Justin said, I mostly train athletes. So mostly I'm all about human performance. Get movement down, move better, get quality, efficiency, and then helping people with injuries. So getting them back to performance. I've kind of been in that whole realm, you know, I've done everything at the gym, but I get tired and bored of that shit and kind of want to work with the athletes and get to more of a high performance side.
That's the fun shit, right?
It's the fun shit.
20 years, did you work at a lot of different facilities? Where'd you start? Like kind of
started like most people at good old 24-hour fitness.
Oh, no shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. 24-hour fitness.
That,
right?
And that was us, me, Adam, no, and you and then
Salinas. Salinas.
Wait, Neil, you're at Bally's?
Who was the FM when you were Bally's?
Oh, Bally's. Fuck.
Do you remember? Do you remember who the...
Rudy. I forget his last name. I went to high school with him.
And I'm trying to think who was going through there around that
time. I was
there
pretty quick, and then I moved to Long Beach to go to college, and then so I trained at the Long Beach Sport.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And
you played baseball?
Played baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So sports got me into this side, and then me being injured, going through physical therapy, some surgeries. I was going to be a physical therapist, but realized it can be pretty boring. And most of our world is like, wait till you're fucked up, wait till you get hurt, and then let's try to do something. So let's be a little bit more proactive. So I went on the other side and try to get to people first so they don't get hurt, they don't get screwed up, and you know, just get rocking, get to the performance.
Nice.
Right. And Dennis, tell us a little bit about your background, dude.
I've been in the industry 16 years. I started in 99, moved out here in 97 from Buffalo, New York. So 24-hour fitness, of course.
Wow, everybody, there. Huh?
It was about 2 months after I was there that I realized, okay, I got to get the hell out of this place. So I was fortunate enough to have an acquaintance who knew somebody that owned a private studio. And she set me up with an interview. Didn't really think that the guy was going to bring me on because I'm like, well, I've only been doing this for a couple months. But he was like, no, actually, you're the type of trainer that I want to see because I can mold you and teach you what you really need to know. So I was fortunate enough to get into a situation like that, and then broke off from there after a few years. And
did he mentor? He said he, right? Did he mentor you the whole time?
Yes, yes. And he gave me a lot of business advice. So very business savvy guy. So then breaking off on my own, having my own facility for a few years, and then that partnership with that business partner went south, unfortunately. You know. That could have been a huge thing, but things are what they are, you know. So then bouncing from, you know, spending 3 or 4 years at a facility from here and there, and then meeting up with these guys, and they're good guys.
Yeah.
You know, excellent to be around and to work with. And
you guys, so how long ago did you, because you guys all met at NorCal, right? That's where you guys all,
or no,
guys
over at Ray's Built Tough.
Oh, that's where you guys met at Ray's.
So okay. 7 years, yeah. About 7 years.
Because you guys do a lot of bodybuilding too.
Oh,
you know, all three of you guys are real fucking huge into the bodybuilding world. I mean, if you see these guys right now, they're like, they're monsters.
Shirts are exploding.
Yeah, I told them to put their shirts on before they got in here. It's ridiculous.
I do feel a little outnumbered today.
Yes.
I do feel coming after you, son. We are not going to talk about any training right now when it comes to me right now. I don't want to get triple tagged here. Yeah, I know.
Fuck yeah.
For sure. For sure.
Anyway, yeah, but Dennis, I see you doing some cool stuff. Like, you have a little bit of like, what do they call it? Animal type movement?
Animal type movements?
No, seriously though.
No, animal flow systems.
Animal flow, that's right.
A lot of just body movements, body mobility drills.
Okay, hold on. You got to explain.
That's what I mean. I want you to get into
that. That's foreign to me, so tell me, explain that to me. That's animal flow. It's called
movements,
animal.
Yeah, movements out of crawl pattern, crab position.
There's actually like a term for that.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
So there's different. You got.
I know. It's not with biceps. And.
Well, is it actually like a certification for that?
Yeah.
Even
oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No,
oh,
shit.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
no
animal flow certification. Scott Sonnen teaches movements like that. They're good to have, you know. For me, being used to working in that bodybuilding environment as far as my lifting personally, with old injuries, just realizing that you keep getting hurt, well, something's got to change. Either I've got to change my training modality, or else this is just going to keep going over and over and over again. So getting more into that, balancing that aspect of retaining strength but keeping mobility, is walking that fine line, not trying to be hypermobile, because I don't want to lose that strength aspect in that aspect. So it's just something I really enjoyed watching at first, and then I was like, okay, well, let me check it out.
Seems like something that you could probably utilize too with like training MMA fighters and stuff, I would think, huh? Where you're a lot of when you're changing levels a lot, I would think, getting up from the
groundwork
ground
down. Yeah, for sure.
So then and most of my clientele is north of 45, 50 years of age.
Yeah, so it's really just about their movement.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you get these people, when you get clients to come in and they're just in full flexion, and it's just like, okay, let's get you to some extension. Let's open you up.
Hey, Neil. So yeah, I know Neil like does a lot of rock climbing and all kinds of ninja moves.
Which, can I point out, you could tell by his handshake. Yesterday was the first time he introduced himself to me and taught me some stick moves yesterday. And that was the very first thing I said to Justin when he walked to us. I was like, bro, dude's got some fucking paws on him, dude. He's like, his paws are like twice my size. And if you saw us in person, I'm like twice his size. So it's like, I knew right away he has to be great at climbing.
Right.
I call him the Filipino Tarzan.
Yep, there it is.
He does. He's got these mittens on him, bro, that are no joke.
I know. I'm still waiting for an invite on Ninja Warrior.
You should do it, bro. I bet you'd be pretty badass at it for sure.
I would do it, man, but I don't want to wait in line for 5 or 6 days and then fail on the first one.
Too. Yeah, you'd be awesome at Ninja Warrior, I would feel.
We've been trying to get them for a few years to get on there.
Yeah, throw a stick mobility logo on your back and, hop out there. Yeah, we actually just interviewed David Campbell. Can I say that, Doug?
Oh, did you really?
Is that okay?
Yeah, we can't hear his episode yet.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we haven't released it yet, but
we have all the inside
information. We have all the inside information.
The Ninja Warrior grandfather, huh?
That's the guy,
nice.
Yeah, he's badass,
He is badass. One
doesn't he have a place in Santa Cruz?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, his brother, I guess, owned it and sold it, I believe, and so now he's kind of like, you know, waiting to either create his own or, you know, train outside.
And like you, he has them oddly sized hands compared to the rest of
his body. We noticed that right away.
His forearms were bigger than his biceps.
Straight Popeye arms.
It was a trip, dude. Oh, yeah. Literally, his forearms were bigger than his biceps. I don't think I'd ever seen that before until I met that guy, too. That was pretty wild.
That's rad. So take me through, like, I went through one of your guys' classes, and I got to say, like, it was a really unique spin on yoga, and I wouldn't even say yoga because you guys call it mobility. Now, why is it that you guys call it mobility and not yoga?
Because it's unlike yoga. You know, people don't take yoga because the first thing you hear is, I can't do it. I can't get into these positions. I can't stand on one leg. So with the stick mobility, it gives you the leverage, it gives you the stabilization, and the fascial activation, the muscle tension is fantastic. I mean, it's just something that when we took the workshop the first time, literally after the first hour, the three of us were like, you got to be kidding me. This is insane.
Yeah.
It was just a physical and mental reaction that none of us had ever experienced in any modality that we've done. Mm-hmm. So we knew right away, we're like, this is something that's just got to get out
there. Yeah, where's this been?
Now,
yeah.
Is there levels of progression in it? Like,
oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I was going to say, because
everything has a level of progression and regression. So that's the good thing. Like yoga, you limit people. Animal flow, you limit people. Yeah. Every modality out there is limiting people, but with stick mobility, we don't limit anybody. We don't leave anybody out. So we got little youngsters all the way to, you know, grandma and grandpa.
That's why I was very curious.
Because the stick's going to aid that stability, aid in activation. We get leverage. You can find a position and a movement for everyone to do. So that's the awesome part. And then, you know, for guys or big manly guys, they might think yoga's kind of pussy and, oh, I'm not ever going to do yoga. I'm not going to do that shit. Yeah. Well, you know, you put a stick in your hand, you can still be badass.
Well, you actually say that, but it's kind of funny. I kind of felt that way because I've done yoga before, which I'm not a fan because I don't think it's super beneficial. I'm just not a big fan of the whole
process. Yeah, like,
but I could totally get into the stick thing. You know what I'm saying? It does feel more masculine. It does feel more. I don't know, almost like because it is.
You're wielding a sword or a weapon or something.
It does. It does. It has a different feel to it for sure.
I think part of that too is the good thing with the stick is that you get the intrinsic cues. You get internal feedback where nothing else really gives you that much. You can get in yoga pose and be like, I don't know what I feel. Am I there? Is it good? Or I just look stupid right now.
Very good point.
Or you can't get into the damn position because you got all these little skinny people that are super hypermobile and they're like Gumby.
Yeah.
You know, so now with this, it's like, oh, I don't have to say nothing or you don't have to give a cue. You just feel it. And when you get that feeling inside, you're kind of like, holy shit, I just woke something up in there. You know, I haven't felt those muscles ever. Something's engaged, whether you know it or not.
Yeah.
If, you know, we know what's going on or understand the body, but for the average person that doesn't understand anything, they still feel it. They're like, damn.
Well,
I had those muscles.
Yeah, I thought the most interesting part when I was going through it was not just the flexibility aspect of it, which was awesome. It was like so easy to get into a position and then really drive that leverage point to kind of adjust your body into it. So I actually have like a reference point now where I'm like, oh, okay, now I can kind of push off of this and adjust and alter my body to it. But also like the core activation. So there was some of those techniques like, you know, I have my own way of teaching that to clients. And I know every other trainer does because it's an important facet of what we try and teach. But this provides like another tool to really, you know, show people, hey, this is how you get these muscles involved and this is how you support your spine and movement and how you get more muscles involved in movement, really.
Yes, exactly. The amazing thing is when people are doing it, you see it in their face. I mean the expression, the way they engage, you're like, oh, we got you.
It's the wow factor.
That's it. In other modalities, you just don't get that. People go, oh, that's cool, I like it. But when you watch people do stick mobility and they get into a position and they just go,
Their eyes just like when Justin did the class, you know, I thought he was jerking off or something. Making all the noises, getting into it and feeling it.
Yeah. You should see me in the bedroom. It's a little more loud.
You know, and we always get that. You get people and we do a pose and in a class of like 15 to 18 people, all of a sudden you hear 10 people just go,
Dude.
And you're like, we got it. You know, and that was excellent.
It's like simultaneous sometimes.
Now, is this how you guys have it set up right now? Right now, you guys teach it in a class setting where you guys will invite. Do you have a certain amount that you only want in there?
The classes are limited to a max of 20.
Okay.
We've all integrated it into our own training programs with our clients with small group and personal one-on-ones.
Yeah.
But we do like having that at least once a week, the big class size.
Yeah. It's hard not to like use it after you learn it. Right. It's one of those things. I honestly feel like it's just like when I started foam rolling more often and more frequently with my clients, it's something you're not going to like forget about it, and you're immediately going to kind of adopt it into your program.
Well, I almost see it you know, if you're somebody who utilizes your standard dynamic flexibility, I would see like you would pretty much replace that unless, I mean, I don't, right? I mean, I would.
It definitely can. Yeah. You can use it in combination. Like my athletes, they're going to do a combination of both.
Okay.
So we still might go through that dynamic flexibility movement prep and then get to some stick to add to it or add, just go straight to activation, activate movement patterns.
Okay.
Then get into our, you know, our base of our workout, or we might activate a movement, then lock it down with another modality, a kettlebell, a club bell, a mace bell, something like that, and add strength to it. Then go right into power on that same movement. So now you locked it down. You go back out. You know, my pitchers are throwing harder.
Yeah.
Someone's going to hit harder for MMA. Whatever it is, you just, you map it to that particular person and what they do with their body or their sport and a movement pattern.
Now, have you guys seen a specific type? And I know it helps everybody for sure. But do you seem to notice like a bigger difference with like maybe a certain athlete or a certain elderly people or somebody who's young and up? Do you notice like it really really benefits or helps somebody out or a certain genre of people or everybody gets really
everybody? But
yeah, Neil, all my golfers that I train,
okay,
all of them hit it further.
Yeah,
and then their backs are just healthier too. So. You know, if their backs are healthy, they could play more.
Oh, wow.
I've seen some unique stretches, too. Like, now, are most of these adopted? I know you guys have worked with, is it Dr. Fagenholtz?
Dr. Fagenholtz.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, like, so I know he's developed a lot of these stretches, I'm assuming. And I know that you guys have then, going through this, you saw a way to then kind of adopt this more into fitness and, like, how this applies to athletes and how this kind of can expand. And so... Like, Neil, like, I know that with golfing, like, I've seen you do some really interesting things with your clients as far as, like, you know, dynamic stretches. Like, is that something that you thought about going through it and then sort of just came up with that? Or
because you can take the stick and you can go through similar golf motions.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then, you know, when you apply that force and that leverage, you open everything up. So now people can get in a good backswing and now they have more power. So,
that's cool.
So we've taken some of his fundamentals and then just applied it to different sports.
Yeah. Basically, we took Dr. Fagenholtz's principles, you know, the basics of it all, and then we still use a lot of his stuff, but now we've just expanded into our world. We're helping bring it into the fitness world, into the athletic world, you know, combined just with our expertise and knowledge of the human body and dynamic movement.
Yeah.
You know, of real anatomy. So functional anatomy where it's not just, you know, sit on a machine and like take it into a movement pattern and how the body really works. Because now those muscles and the chain and the fascia, the fascial lines change how everything works. So we've just taken on that and expanded to all the movements and you know, we get creative.
I was just going to ask you, are you guys still actively creating?
All the time.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
All the time. That's so cool, man.
So is it like every once in a while one dude comes up and goes, bro, check this one. Sure. Yeah. Check this shit out.
We got the dumpy squat, right?
Yeah, I was just.
Dennis, I created the squat dicking around at the house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we all talk about with squatting, you know, creating ground force. And, you know, the object, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm going, well, Jesus, okay, you're either back loaded or front loaded. You got this object or you're deadlifting and you're picking stuff up off the ground and you're trying to lift and fight gravity, right? So you're trying to teach the body to move upwards, not down, right? Yeah. And you're getting that push off the platform of the floor. But I was thinking, well, okay, what if I take this stick, put it into the top of the door jamb and push up on it and force and fight against that upward force? And when I stood there and put it in the door and I just took my hands and I pushed up everything, and I just went, holy
sends
shit.
That engagement.
I just went, oh my God. I looked at my wife and went, holy shit. And then I said, okay, well now, and then I started squatting it and I just pushed up as hard as I could all the way up and all the way down. And I just went, holy shit. I mean, I just was
our squat.
Now my deep squat is always been good before. But then having people that had never been in a deep squat and you lock that in and they get to a range of motion, they look at you and go, are you kidding me?
Yeah. They get down there and they're fully engaged.
And they're fully engaged the whole time.
Yeah.
And you're like, gotcha. You know, cause they're like, holy shit. I've never broken parallel before in my life.
Wow.
You know, and they're getting down there and they're creating and they're keeping extension.
Mm-hmm.
So they're keeping that chest up because they're pushing up. And as they're pushing up into the door, that chest stays up. You get that thoracic extension. And yeah, it was just creating those things, just thinking about principles of movement, going, okay, how can I expound on this, you know, and create something more out of it. So, you know, for hockey personally, you know, looking at, you know, trainers like Scott Simmons up in Canada and looking at their principles of movement, the exercises they do, and then saying, okay, they load with weight with, you know, dumbbells and sandbags and things, and then go, okay, well, what if I took the stick, pushed upwards and created that same movement? And then you got something completely different.
Right.
So the one gentleman that I train that I play hockey with, he told me the other day, he's like, okay, I've got my slap shot's actually way too high now because I'm getting more rotation, more force, and my shots are going above the net. And he's like, and secondly, I'm skating faster, so now I'm overskating everything. And I'm like, well, that's not
a horrible thing. Problem.
Yeah, that's a horrible problem.
You've made me way too efficient,
right?
Bro.
Yeah. And it was funny because Rich is like, I'm skating faster. Yeah, it's like, he's like, I've got to, like, he goes, I keep overskating stuff. And I'm like, well, now you got to slow the game down. Right. That's not a bad thing.
Right.
You know, it's better to have to slow the game down than just be struggling to keep up with everything.
Right.
So yeah, it's been fascinating to see the results from when we take all these applications and we create new things and we just go, man, oh my goodness. And it's like you said earlier, oh, hey, look, check this out. Look what I just, oh, this is awesome, you know?
Now, would you recommend it to the average person more as something that they would incorporate pre-workout or taking like a full hour like you would a yoga class or something like that? I know both have its benefits, but where would you prescribe, would say, somebody who's, you know, interested or listening right now, like, oh, this looks like something I'd want to get involved in or do?
I personally would even say, you know, just take a small sample. Mm-hmm. Let's integrate a couple things here and there in your workout. That way you get that little tease.
Yeah.
And you go, wait a second, what was that?
Yeah.
You know, oh my. And then, you know, because a lot of people are like, oh, an hour and a half, you know, if we do the 90 minute class. So if you, with us integrating them into the programs, you just hear a little here, a little there, you know.
Yeah.
Just like that drug dealer.
Just
give you that little tease. Yeah. Okay, now we got your look, right? Back. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, okay, I want more, you know.
Play just a tip.
I like it.
Just give them a little bit. Yeah. Just a little.
Don't pound them right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a little bit and then
gotta
pound
lube
them
it and press it. Yeah. So, I got you. Yeah, so tell me, okay, now we got to kind of shift gears here and talk shit.
Awesome.
Because that's what we do on this show.
We talk shit.
What, like, okay, so just being from a similar mindset as me, okay, what would be, like, maybe the most frustrating thing that you see in the gym? I want to start with athletes, like, maybe as far as, like, training athletes, like, what's something that you guys could think of that pisses you off,
habits you got to break them out of or something,
not just with the athletes but the trainer training them, like, what's something that you see constantly started. No, I wanted to get you started, that's why I said that.
Well, first off, nowadays, I mean, athletes are just lazy, you know, they're freaking entitled little bitches, honestly. But I think, like, with a lot of the trainers out there, everyone's trying to act like they're an expert. You know, and you walk around any gym, any place, and like, oh, I got you, bro. I'll make you a better athlete. And then you look at what they're doing. You're like, that has nothing to do with their sport. That has nothing to do with movement, you know. And it's either maybe they'd go through a bodybuilding routine. A bodybuilding routine's not going to help an athlete. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to get hypertrophy, but hypertrophy doesn't mean you're going to be powerful. Doesn't mean you can move.
Right.
Or the opposite end, someone's just trying to crush an athlete. Well, that's not what they need. Mm-hmm. They need to be healthy. They need to move better. You need to take into account, like, how many days and how many hours are they practicing? Are they playing their sport? Are they playing multiple sports during the week, you know? Or are they this stupid shit that goes on nowadays and you're playing one sport year round, which I just don't agree with. You know, you're killing them. You're ruining
them. That's the trend, right?
That's
I remember talking to you about that. Yeah,
it's the trend now. And
what do you mean by that? Like an athlete playing in one sport year round?
Well, they make it like hard for you to either A, get a starting spot if you're not playing with that team. Like,
it's a money thing. Yeah. It's all become about the money. So it's like, oh, you need to specialize by like fucking 7 years old. You know, oh, my little Johnny's got to play just soccer all year round if you want to make it. You're like, really? Play another sport and get better, become a better athlete.
The parents think every parent thinks their kid is going to be in the next EPL star. Soccer.
All right.
Oh, I got the next Lionel Messi. I got the next LeBron James.
And he can't even kick a ball.
This is your sports guy over here, by the way, Adam.
Yeah. You're like, no, you don't. Do you understand that your child has a 1 in 15,000 chance of just getting a college scholarship?
Yeah. Right.
Oh, dude.
And we're not even going beyond that. That's just to get a college scholarship.
You may as well buy him a lottery ticket every day of his life.
Right. Pretty much, right?
He's got a better shot.
Right? You're pretty much. So, and that's a lot of it.
That is a lot.
The parents are like, oh, they're good at baseball, so let's just play them year-round. And you've got to have that diversity. You've got to give your brain something else to adapt to.
Now, that being said, you guys, is this a battle you have with the parents? I mean,
all the time.
Is that something that you guys...
All the time. You know,
how do you handle that? You know, I mean,
because you...
I tell them straight up.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys see me. I'm pretty straightforward and pretty blunt at times, and I'll tell him it's just a stupid-ass idea. if you want him to be better or her to be better, like, they've got to recover. They need to become a better athlete. They need to, and you're wasting money, frankly. Like, I think that's the other problem, is a lot of these coaches are just bastards and just trying to take people's money. And it's not about the kids anymore. It's not about, they're taking the fun out of sports. When you're younger, it should be fun.
Yeah.
You know, get serious down the road when you know you've got a shot. But, there's nothing wrong with being competitive. You know, get on the field and be competitive.
Yeah.
But it's not, end all, say all, and be all. But, like, all the travel stuff, all of that realm, it's all about the money now. So it's like you said, Justin, earlier, it's almost a threatening, well, if you don't pay for this season, if you don't do this stuff, like, oh, I don't know if you're going to be on the team anymore. I don't know about your starting job. But you know what? Screw that shit. Realistically, we all know if you're good, you're playing.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Absolutely.
If you're the fucking stud and they're not going to be like, no, sorry, man, you're not playing.
You missed Winter League.
Yeah. Like, oh, come on. Yeah. I mean, I've been a part of travel stuff, and we flew kids in from SoCal, from other areas to pitch. And you're like, yeah, tell me, like, this kid didn't pay a freaking dime, and other people are paying, thousands of dollars to play, and you're flying him in, so you got a freaking ringer out there on the mound.
Yeah,
and so much of that happens all over the board. So it's this money thing. It's the, parents, their pipe dream that their kid's going to be the next star.
Well, so as far as parents go, like, what would your advice be? Okay.
Because I remember. Stay on the sidelines and let us all do our jobs.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I totally agree with that. I remember a conversation I had with Dennis about, a lot of kids really getting into, lacrosse because parents don't know shit about lacrosse. Right.
They can't tell me how to play now.
They don't have to deal with their dad or their mom afterwards going, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Why don't you do this? They took it up because they don't have to listen to that. Because
they had fun with it.
Right? And they had fun. Yeah. Exactly. So that's the reason why you're seeing memberships go up in more obscure sports. Then kids, in a way, are like, thank God my dad doesn't know anything about this sport.
So learn
he can't
curling.
Say shit to me about it, right? And for once, I can just go out there and just be myself and play, right?
Wow, that's funny.
Now, that would be the advice to kids, I think. Get involved in an obscure sport.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Seth Jones of the Nashville Predators. His dad was Popeye Jones, NBA player, all pro, right?
Yeah.
So Popeye's kid, they're living there, and he starts taking up hockey, and his dad's like, really?
What the fuck?
Hockey? Are you kidding me?
I don't know this.
Like, I play in the NBA. What are you talking about? And his dad's
foreign
like...
Foreign language.
His dad's like, okay. And here his kid gets drafted in the first round of the NHL draft, and he's an anchor, and he's going to be a stud for the next 14, 15 years.
Right.
But now, did he pick that sport because his dad is expecting him to play basketball? Maybe. Who knows? I've never, it'd be interesting to ask him, why did you pick hockey? Is that just something that was different and that was a major, that was a big reason of why you took it, why you played that?
So you guys would be interesting to talk to about this. I always like discussing, especially with somebody that has sports knowledge and then in the backgrounds you guys have.
You want to talk about Tom Brady, huh?
No, I don't. No. I actually...
He's got lovely hair.
Let's go there.
I want to talk to you guys about your theories and thoughts on somatotypes with sports and stuff like that. Like, how much of a factor do you guys feel that is with, a kid finding that sport? I mean, we're talking about right now a kid choosing a sport for the love and the passion and have fun. But what about body types, when you have...
good point. I don't think people look at that enough. Honestly, we come across some and they're like, oh, I want to play this sport. I'm going to be this position. I got a kid right now. I'm going to be the quarterback. I'm like, bro.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you should think of a different check. Here's your reality check. And I constantly, no, I'm going to be it. And so, you know, I'm always fucking with them like, well, then why do you always tuck your head when I get after you? Like, the quarterback, everybody's looking at you. You know, you're picking. He wants to be a quarterback and a pitcher, the two positions that everybody freaking looks at.
Right.
It's always on you, and he's always shying and hiding away. And I'm like, you're short and stubby. You don't move that well. You might be able to throw a little bit, but I'm like, have you ever thought of maybe be a fullback? Your dad was a fullback. Then all of a sudden, your dad's a quarterback coach? Like, when was he ever a quarterback? Right. What does he know about that? But the dad's big. I'm like, you got the body type of a fullback or something. You could still get the chicks if that's what it's all about. Right. Like, you're still going to be on the football team. You're still going to get some. You know, maybe not the top ones, but hey.
There you go. Yeah.
You're also ugly.
Leftovers.
But it's like, use your body type. Your body type's meant to freaking plow some people over, run through some people, not be the little, you know, not be Tom Brady.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I feel like that's a lot of parents, a lot of people in general just are not educated on that to realize. I mean, myself, I wasn't growing up. I didn't know that. My parents' shit didn't work out or any of that. I wasn't where I was at now. So I played basketball. I played football. I played a lot of sports that I didn't realize how good I probably would have been as a swimmer. And I remember, I'll never forget the first time I hopped in a pool, an Olympic pool, to race somebody, how fast I was. And with no training, nothing, just had this natural gift. And it was like, well, when you think about it, when you look at my body type, I've got this narrow waist, skinny long legs,
huge
wingspan. It's like, I was built to do this. And I wish, God, imagine if someone would have told me that got me in that when I was an early age and actually like fostered that a bit.
And
like,
you still could be wearing mankinis.
Right. Enough. I mean, he's almost there on stage anyway.
I just think that, I mean, I don't know. I think I'm not a parent yet, but I know when I have a kid, I think that's something that I would look at, like, you know, the way my kid is structured. I'd want to try and teach him sports probably that are probably, you know, conducive to what his body type is. Not that I would tell him, no, you can't play this.
Right. Try it. But I think it's, again, goes back to have them play multiple sports, have them try everything and see what they like.
See if they excel at,
and see if they excel at, and they might find their home, you know, like, I think that's a problem. A lot of people are like, they see something on TV and they're like, oh, I'm going to play this sport. You know, I'm going to be the next soccer stud and have my, you know, haircut and do all this and start the new hair trend. But you're like, that's your endurance about, sucks. Like, you can't run miles. Yeah, you can't run a mile. You know, the competitive soccer game, you're running anywhere from 3 to 7 miles.
All you do is run.
Yeah, that's why, you know, soccer, I went away from that around junior high. Like, it's too much fucking running.
It's all running, man.
I was good at it, but I'm like, I don't want to run this much. I just want to sprint.
I know. I was like, I went from football to rugby, and I was like, oh my God, dude, I was dying.
Non-stop, right?
It's like soccer and hitting.
Yeah.
I mean, it was awesome.
Manly soccer.
Man soccer. Oh, yeah.
Rugby's awesome.
Yeah, lose teeth and all that shit. Oh, it was great, but it was just, I was so gassed out, just running and running and running and running. You know, there's no breaks. There's no times where you're water.
Yeah, I've always said rugby players are so underrated.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When people look at the level of athleticism, nobody ever talks about rugby.
It's true. Very true. Like,
go out and play it just once. And then tell me how manly of a sport it is. Right. I mean, it's right there. You know, Aussie rules football is pretty good. You know, that's there's an Irish sport called curling. Hurling, sorry.
I was going to say curling.
Hurling. Not the drinking Irish sport of hurling, actual hurling. And when you watch these guys, it's field hockey to a whole different level.
Oh, yeah.
And you see these guys with this ball and this wooden stick, and they're sprinting and they're dribbling it, which means they're just hitting it up and playing like a paddle
with board. Like a little tiny curl into this wooden stick.
And in one move, this guy will take it and go boom, and he'll send it literally 30 yards down the field, and I'm not shitting you, the other guy literally takes it with the stick. And I like, what? Like, I stopped it, I rewound it, and I'm like, did I just fucking see that? And I'm like, holy shit. I mean, the eye-hand coordination, I mean, these guys are, they're not stopping, they're still in full run, and I'm just like, oh my God. But you know, they actually have a hurling club up in San Francisco.
Yeah, wow, I'm gonna have to check that out.
Don't you find it funny though how like a bunch of nerdy trainers, I guess, when you see shit like that, how fascinated you become? Somebody else sees a sport like that, and they're like, "This is boring," right? They move over, like, "Dude, did you just see what he was capable of doing right there? You know what that would take to be able to do that?"
And it's funny because when I do that when I'm at hockey games, you know, I'll watch little movements and I'll go.
See, I find hockey. Right? I'm a diehard hockey right? fan, and I and think I'll just, hockey is. Just...
I'll see little shit and I'll go, man, that what a great move. And people around me are like, what are you talking about?
Well, because it happens so fast.
And you're like,
unless you know what the hell they're doing, right?
You're like, you just don't understand how much skill that just took to accomplish that.
They look so under control. I'm like, could you imagine?
They're on little thin skates on ice.
Skating on ice is hard enough moving, right? And at those speeds to be able to do the things they do and make it look so flawless. Right?
It's just unbelievable. Yeah.
While you're getting nailed too, while someone's hitting you with a stick or elbowing you at the same time, like, dude, it's
amazing. Yeah, being a trainer, it's fantastic, and looking at people's movements and realizing the skill level that people have. You know, it's always funny because we always joke about how when we're at sporting events and you see the worst professional player is worlds better than you could ever imagine being.
Right.
And they're awesome at other sports too.
Right, yeah.
Dude, remember?
I'll never forget.
Me and Adam both played, we played a couple of 49ers and we played just this pickup basketball game, right? Uh-huh. Like one of the fucking defensive linemen.
Well, half of them.
He shoots from over half court and just drains.
Oh, dunking the ball.
Remember that shit? And then dunking. Yeah, everybody was dunking and draining from half
Samoan
court.
Samoan guy jumping up, dunking the ball.
Yep.
And literally,
I had to guard him, dude.
Three strides, he'd be out in front of you. You're just, you know, and you're not even talking about like your super, superstar guys. Some of these guys were second string guys that were and messing around.
Just so dunking athletic.
Over the top of us.
Oh,
and,
dude.
And we're all basketball. I played basketball my whole life. And I'm just getting, and these guys aren't even basketball players, but the athleticism is just.
They're like those one percenters.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's like they're playing at a whole nother speed.
A whole nother speed.
JJ, body control. Ice skates. Yeah. It fucking scores on. What?
Oh, dude.
YouTube.
Ice skates?
I showed. Yeah. We saw that.
Fucking JJ Watt went in and scored on, was it Devin Dubnyk or whatever? Yeah.
That's a scary.
What? Fucking 300 pound man. Dude, I love JJ Watt. Yeah. But when I saw that, I was like,
he's like my favorite.
Yeah,
dude.
Oh, I'm like, dude. You are the man.
Dennis and I watched that together. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, he's like, and I'm like, what? I'm like,
that's unreal. That's unreal.
I'm like, you got to be kidding.
Do you remember when they played his, I think it was during the combo. Was it during the combo when they played his jumping out of the pool?
Yeah. And you've seen other guys do it. We've seen different men. But when you get a big ass dude like that, that's a whole nother level.
It's a force of nature.
It is. You know, that's what's so crazy. It is a whole different level. And it's funny. It goes back to what you said too. Everyone sees that you think your kid's going to be this or be that. You're just these kids are like special.
Your kid's going against that, dude. No,
right.
It's not happening.
LeBron James when he was
it's a freaking nature.
12 was a. I mean, people knew
he was playing against grown men at that point.
You know, as good as you may think, you see a kid in your area, you go, man, that kid's really good. Yeah. But then when you see that kid, you just know. You go, no, that kid is really good.
Well, how much do you think then, like, say somebody goes through a really solid training program and, you know, they train for strength, they train for power, they train for speed. Like, how much of that will take them into, like, a professional realm? Like, can that actually, you know, what do you think the percentage is?
Oh, I'll take anybody. No.
Yeah.
You got to be born with enough. You have to have enough natural ability, coordination, and skill. I mean, you know, what we'll tell anybody is I can make you a better athlete. I can make anyone faster. I can make anyone jump higher, hit a ball harder, throw faster. You know, Neil, make someone hit a golf ball further. You know, Dennis with hockey. I mean, any sport, we can make someone better, but you can't make anybody a pro. They've got to have that. You got to have something there.
I think this is such a great debate because I think so many people attribute to steroids now in the industry and all this stuff like that in pro sports.
Steroids doesn't make you an athlete.
Right. And I feel like people just don't understand
about steroids.
Well, it is. It's what people don't realize is how far we are with training and science and understanding the body. And now what you're seeing now is, and then people starting to find how important is somatotypes. I mean, LeBron James was built to do what he does and he trains like a motherfucker. So you take these guys that were already genetically gifted and then now they're training to the peak performance.
And they're obsessive.
Yeah.
Right. About their one thing that they do.
That's what I'm saying. So we're seeing this freakish type. I mean, when you watch click on and you watch football, basketball, golf, baseball, anything, and then you click and you watch it 40 years ago, the sport, it just looks like it's at four times the speed.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think that's because all the drugs and all the PEDs and bullshit.
Science.
It's science. It's what we've learned, the body types and what we can do to it and stuff like that.
And it's, you know, it's the science, it's evolution. I mean, we're just learning more, learning to move. But, you know, you say steroids or any of these PEDs, well, they're you know, a performance enhancer. Well, so is the right training.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, some's not. So some's going to decrease it. So is eating, you know, actually eat some real freaking food. Yeah. Don't eat all this crap. Don't eat all, you know, everything from that's packaged and McDonald's and all that. Eat some real healthy food, food that's going to rot, food that's going to die, food that's got nutrients that's going to increase your performance. It, you know, there's all these different levels of performance enhancements, but it's the people who have the genetic capabilities and then add the enhancements on top of it. They're going to soar. They're going to be, you know, heads above everybody.
But I don't even, it's, it'd be, the vast majority of people don't even give a shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I so-and-so agree, got busted for steroids.
Right.
And
who gives a shit?
Well, it's because, I think it's because it's where we're coming
news
now,
right now,
it's becoming more obvious.
You know?
I mean, which here you got, I just had this, someone and I were debating this, and this is my take on it. So if you took an MMA fighter, and you've got the 205 class, right? And one of them is somebody who's naturally meant to be a 170, 180-pound fighter who's juiced up to a 205 versus the all-natural guy who's cut down to make the 205 weight. Who wins in that? You know, if they're evenly built, right, and everything. I think the guy who is naturally built for that
built
weight,
body.
Built for that weight, is actually at an advantage. Yes. You know, because that's what his body is built for to move
that's
like
what it's built for. It was built to
and
move
the other
that
guy
body.
Had
he carries it around
to get to that
point. Artificially, right?
Exactly. Right.
You know, and there's just some things that you can't artificially change inside the body to run at that. So. I think that's what people do. And more people are starting to kind of put that together and understand. I don't think, obviously, at our level and stuff like that as trainers and stuff, but I think more and more are starting to figure it out that it's not as much as everybody thinks is the answer or what separates the rest of us from the pros is, oh, they're on all the drugs.
They're on all the steroids. Yeah. I mean, at that shit.
I mean, Alex Rodriguez was a Hall of Famer before
he ever stuck
a needle in his ass.
Barry Bonds was a
Hall of Famer.
Roger Clemens was a Hall of Famer before.
Barry Bonds.
Mark McGwire.
Yeah, Barry Bonds was a 400 guy before he ever did anything.
So do you guys have the same – see, my heart goes out to all these guys that because they were – the front end of it, I feel bad that they that their names have been drugged through the mud because they're the first ones to get busted with all of it.
The guys that I make fun of are the guys like what's his name from Rafael Palmeiro, who literally sits there and goes, "I did not take steroids." And you're like, just say you did.
Say you
nobody
did.
Nobody gives a shit.
Yeah, right, and everyone would have forgot. Like,
it's laughable.
And Andy Pettit said, "Yeah, I took them." Yeah.
No one talks about them anymore.
Went, great, cool. Good for you. Right. And nobody gave a shit.
What
they loved them. They're
do?
Like, "Good for you, Andy." And nobody gave a shit. Right. It's the people that literally sit there and defiantly go, "No, I did not take them." And then you realize, then they're like, "Oh, you took them."
Yeah, it's more commendable.
Now you look like an ass.
Just gotta own it.
Just own it. If you did something, just fucking own it.
Just own it. Say, "Yeah, I took him." Let's move along.
I mean, I'm a huge baseball guy, and I think all those top guys, they should be in.
Yeah.
You know, there's no reason why they shouldn't. Yeah, taking the steroids doesn't mean you can hit a ball.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you're going to throw over 90 miles an hour. Bullshit. You know, people think, oh, they throw 90, 100 miles an hour. They must be on steroids. Yeah, right. You know, oh, the guys hitting home runs must be on steroids. You know what? Maybe you'll hit the ball a little further.
Yeah.
You were still going to hit a home run before it. Now it's just a little more impressive.
Yeah.
But it's still hand-eye coordination.
Yeah,
it's
a lot
not
of
changing
it's mechanics.
That.
Yeah.
It's mechanics.
Dude.
It's being efficient through there. You know, it's most of these guys are taking steroids. You know, people don't understand baseball, 162 game season. It's a fucking long season.
Right.
They're taking more of it to recover. You know, to keep
saying,
going.
It's for like the old guys, you know, still trying to stay in the league. I see that a lot more now.
Yeah,
like
you're seeing a lot more.
I kind
of
don't blame them. You know what I mean? It's like.
But you still got to train.
It's like shit.
I mean, what happens if you just take steroids and you don't train?
Well,
you're gonna be a fat fuck.
I was just going to say, you know what would probably open more people's eyes? If everybody who was in a Gold's Gym got steroid tested and they found out, like, fuck, 90% of the people in here are on roids and nobody looks like it.
Exactly.
Holy shit. I guess it's not as much as it's cracked
up. It's on his face.
A lot of people. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people just think it's the easy, you know, the easy ticket, but you still got to work. Oh, you still got to put in the work.
Yeah.
You still got to lift the weights. You still got to go to the gym.
Children were not condoning steroids, by the way.
We're not. Podcast. You know, no. It's just.
They know that.
No, we keep it real here. That's why. I mean,
it doesn't make your dick smaller. Your balls might shrivel up while you're on it.
But
the big dangly balls.
The vast majority of people are like, whatever. Just admit that you did it. Nobody cares. You know, it's just one of those things.
Yeah. No, so you guys just went to that that conference. I wanted you guys to kind of talk about that a little bit, the IDEA conference, and kind of what kind of feedback did you guys get with the stick mobility and maybe like some other cool, innovative things in the fitness world you saw?
I think the breakthrough for us was we have a different approach with stick mobility. We're not coming in and saying, look, we have the best system. We're better than every other modality you're going to find. We're coming in saying, look, we can make your modality better. We can really come in and work with you. And if someone loves kettlebells, we can make them better with the kettlebells.
Enhance it.
So. We can enhance it with the slack line. So when we were seeing people with like the core sticks from Mike Kadar and the flex line machine that we just saw, you know, our first thoughts were, oh, how do we integrate stick mobility with this machine or this system? Mm-hmm. You know, how can we make them blend the two together? So there's a lot of partnership that we would love to be able to do. You know, we're not coming in saying, okay, well, your system sucks and we just kick ass, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's very complimentary.
Very much so, yeah. You know? So, and that's, we were privileged enough to meet Kyle Brown from, he does the ESPN Empower Hour. And he's the one, you know, he goes, you guys are coming in with a totally different approach that most of these people have never had before. You know, most of these people are thinking, okay, what are you trying to take over? You know, right. Mm-hmm. you're trying to butt in on our thing. And it's like, no, you know, we can make it a little bit better. We can enhance
that. I love that attitude. It's very similar to the philosophy that the three of us trainers have on Mind Pump, is that, you know, we're not trying to say that this is the answer and don't do this or don't do that, or ours is better, our way is better than your way or anything like that. It's like,
there's always lots of ways.
Yeah. That's everything that we release are always guides. And, you know, we want to educate you and inform you on like, these are different modalities and different ways to do things and different approaches towards your overall goal. You know, it's not the answer or the way.
There's no one way with the
which
body.
I feel like a lot of trainers are. Totally. I feel like that's the way. That's the way you
get
make
wrapped
it
into one dogma.
You,
and
you make a name for yourself, and then you make this cookie cutter, whatever it is, whether it be a
cookie
program
cutter. Yeah. They stay in the box. They limit themselves. Yeah. You know, it's like, get outside of the box. There's lots of stuff out there. There's lots of ways that we can enhance someone, whatever they're trying to do, or make something better. I firmly believe if you're a good trainer, you're a good strength coach, you could be put in any situation, any gym, anywhere outside, and find a way to make someone better. You know, we walk around with the ultimate tool all the time, our body. Mm-hmm. If that's all you got, fuck, we can find a great way to enhance everything and get a killer workout. Enhance performance, you know, improve movement and mobility. But now if you just give us tools, well, that just can make us even better. But you should be able to use anything. If anything's out there, I mean, grab a fucking boulder.
Right.
Yeah. You know, grab a log and we could do something. Find a tree, climb, run, sprint, jump. There's lots of stuff you can do. So if you're limited, like, oh, I got to be in this gym, I got to be in Gold's Gym with these thousands of pieces, like, well, then you probably suck.
Yes, amen.
I think a lot of us trainers, when we first started, I mean, that was one of the things I used to pride myself on, is just give me a little corner. It's all I need.
Yeah,
give me a little corner. If I, it's all I need, I'll put it together. You know what I'm saying?
Isn't that how like we all were treated at 24?
It was.
We had like this one little tiny corner. I remember just being pinned against like the windows.
That's why
I got like dumbbells.
I really felt like if you made it in that atmosphere, like you ended up being good. You know what I'm saying? Because you had to figure that out. You were forced to evolve and like, well, fuck, everything's taken.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? It looks like I got about a 6x6 area.
You know, if you get in a busy gym and you have a plan or a program and then everything's taken, well, the shit goes out the window.
Right. Yeah.
What's your next approach? How can you still follow your same plan with something else?
Right.
You know, and a funny story is before leaving Built Tough when we were there, we kind of got coined as the back trainers.
We were the back
guys in the back room.
In the back. Everybody used to be like,
you mean the ones helping everyone get better?
I'm looking for
the
Neil.
Guys that don't need all this shit up here.
The people come in Ian, is Neil here? Is Dennis here? Is Mitch here? Yeah, they're in the back.
Oh, you mean the back trains? The guys in the back.
We were like the Rosa Parks. Yeah. We were like stuck in the back of the gym.
It was like, shit. Well, shit. When there's room to come up front and someone's not posing in this area or doing something or hogging up the machine for an hour, well, we use some of
taking it. Taking selfies now. You know, shit, you guys left like
being
right
in a squat, being in a squat rack doing freaking bicep curls. You're like, really, bro? Can you freaking squat or deadlift or do some compound movement?
Right.
You know, or we go in the back and we'll use kettlebells. We'll use something else. Yeah. But put us anywhere, like you said, put us in a corner. Give us a little 5x5, 10x10 box and we'll still do what we need to do.
Right.
And I used to spend, like, you sit there when you first start and you get all this stuff and you start going, okay, I got this client. We'll do this client. And then the next day rolls around and they show up and they're like, oh, they did this and this is bothering me and this is, and you're like, okay, well, scratch that and get rid of that and can't do this. And then you're like, what the hell am I doing this shit for? You know, because that's what you're indoctrinated with. Yeah. You're like, you just set this up. And then you're just like, okay, well, half the shit I plan, I can't do.
Right.
You know, or the equipment's taken and you can't use this. And then you're like, okay, are you going to stand there for 15 minutes while somebody else uses it until you're like, nope,
some do.
We've got to stay here. Yeah. We've got to stay here.
You see a trainer do that. Right? Oh my God. Sit there and wait.
They're like, just nope. Waiting and waiting. Yeah. And you're like, bro, almost done. Go do something. Right. Man.
Yeah. Oh, you're like, man. This is in the program. This is the next thing. Yeah. We will not deviate.
With the clipboard.
You're like, it's okay. You're going to need to deviate. It's about improvising. It's about being able to change on the fly.
I think that's a great point to bring it. Like, we were asked a question. We take a lot of questions and answers and stuff on the show. And that was, I remember one of those questions were like, what do you learn that you didn't learn in your certification and like from the textbooks?
Everything.
Yeah. It's like little stuff like that. Like it's so many things. Like you do have to be on your feet. You got to be quick. You got to come up with something. You got to keep it entertaining. You got to, you know, educate them. You got to talk about their food. You know, it's like all this shit that you're not just going to be able to write down and program and it's all going to work out exactly how you thought.
The books give you the information, but they just don't teach you when you get into the real life situation.
Yeah.
And you're sort of shell shocked the first, you know, little bit. You're like, oh shit. And then you're
God,
like,
how bad were we in the beginning?
Yeah. Right. And then you're like, let me refer back to the book. Does the book tell me something about this? No, the book doesn't say shit about that. Yeah. You know, this is something you just got to learn.
I can't find the answer in this book. Well, I mean, think about it though. How many trainers, and we probably all did it. You get your first certification. You're like, I'm a fucking badass. I got it. Right. I know it all. You're like, I mean, really, what can you learn in freaking 10 hours, 8 hours, 16 hours in a weekend.
Right.
Yeah. And you get these people and they're like, man, they walk in. This might look like I'm walking
you're
like
doing it wrong.
Yeah. You know, and then maybe, you know, in the beginning it was like, I'm going to use every piece of equipment in this gym. I'm going to look cool.
Because
I can. Or I'm going to be the one that knows how to use them all. And then you're like, what the fuck am I doing? This is stupid. You know, but then you learn over time. I think that the best teacher is experience. You got to get in and you got to live in the trenches and you got to do it. You know, I learned kinesiology in school. You know, we go and spend all this money on a college education. Everyone asked me about that. I'm like, I learned everything outside. Mm-hmm. You know, afterwards. That was basics. You know, I mean, that was...
Gave you your bone structure.
Yeah,
right?
That was, you know, me learning the body and some vocabulary and, you know, and then it was like... Then I spend my money every year. All of us, you know, every year we go out and spend on education, on what we want, on things we're going to really learn and something that can teach us things that actually we can apply. So the learning really comes in application. Mm-hmm. You know, go read a book, go take a certification, go do something, you know, watch some videos. Then you got to go learn how to actually apply it.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't apply it, you don't understand.
100%. What do they say? We just talked about this the other day. 8,000 or 10,000 hours before you're considered an
for
expert.
Sure. Yeah, 10,000.
10,000. 10,000 repetitions to lock something in, minimum.
Yeah.
You know? So all these people, that's where I went back, like these people that think they're experts in training athletes. You're like, you just became a trainer last year, right? Yeah, right. You've taken one certification and you've trained, you know, five people. Yeah. This is your first athlete.
But it's
athlete.
A specialty cert,
and
bro.
Specialty cert. Okay.
Because they taught me how to use the ladder. I can do hell shit on the ladder.
Oh, the fucking ladder.
I know at least 50 exercises on the ladder.
You know, people be like, speed ladder. It's not a speed ladder. It doesn't teach speed.
Well, like from the athlete standpoint, we see so many trainers are like, oh, I can train this athlete and it's all sagittal plane. plane.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know, they do move transversely.
So they don't just go.
They do gotta go left.
They do rotate.
They gotta go left every now.
And you know, they do have to turn, right?
And not one of those athletes is a track athlete. You know, the only sport that you do just run in a straight line.
Right.
Well, until you get to a 400, a 200, or something with a turn.
There's a little bit of a turn coming.
But
up.
You know, it's like. No sports does that. You've got to be able to move and react and change direction. Your best athletes know how to change direction.
Right.
With and speed explosive. And power. And they're still explosive. They don't have to come to a complete stop like, oh, hit the brakes. I'm going to turn now. You know, everybody, you ready? Here I go.
One, two, three,
no,
go.
No, they're running up and they're
because they got to count it in their head. One, two, three, four, five, go.
Yeah, before you know it, they're gone. But, you know, or that speed expert, and I see, you know, majority of a session all on a ladder. When did you teach him speed? Like, at best, you're teaching some footwork, you know, maybe a little bit of agility, some you know, coordination, change of direction, like minor. But now you got to put it into work, put it in, like, real movement patterns, real usage, and you're teaching these light little feet, you know, moves out of side. Speed's ground force. Yeah. Produce power into the force, into the ground.
Unless they're going pro hopscotch.
Yeah. Drive through the ground. You know, if you're not driving through the ground, you're not producing speed. So stop wasting all the time on a ladder.
There it
Use it as a warm-up.
There you go.
Super. That's it.
Yep. It's a great point. Well, yeah, I mean – you guys want to like talk about any upcoming classes you may have? Like, I know, like, so we're here local in the Silicon Valley in San Jose. You guys have had some classes in Campbell. I know that this is definitely something you guys are going to develop further and grow. So this may be something that, you know, you guys will be able to sort of package up, and maybe trainers will be able to get involved. And
we spent the three of us actually spent what about. 4 hours today, about three or four hours today. So we're working, we're developing our certification.
Awesome.
Yeah, so we're getting that stick mobility fundamentals certification. We're planning on doing performance certification, CrossFit certification, and then
crickets.
But we also have
DVDs. Yeah, we're working on the videos.
So we got to start really working on the videos too.
Cool.
Nice. You guys are doing videos.
Yeah, excellent. The feedback's been fantastic. I mean,
I wanted that from you guys. Actually.
Yeah.
I mean, we got some good things in the work. You know, it's going to take time. Hopefully, things take off. I mean, we want to be teaching workshops. We want to be going around taking this international, but
absolutely.
You know, starting to teach trainers and gyms and people how to run it and how to utilize it, get it into CrossFit, help the CrossFit world.
Please help them.
Yes, you know, well, they improve their wad.
It's been pretty
not blow their wad.
Oh yeah.
They get
the stick
cool.
And then they blow a wad.
Yeah, right.
I get it.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. The Instagram's been blowing up. Neil and Kevin Steen and those guys, they've been blowing up with the Instagram. But to see people from Australia following us, and friggin' Norway and Spain, and you're like, oh, this is awesome, you know. There's people from 15,000 miles away interested in what we're doing, you know, and they're really liking it. And the feedback's been fantastic from doctors and physical therapists that have been following us. And all these trainers are like, this is awesome stuff.
Well, I'm pretty excited. I'm excited for you guys. And hopefully that we stay in contact, because, you know, hopefully, I'm sure down the road there's going to be something we can do together. We're all about collaborating with like-minded fit, because I feel like there's not a lot of synergy.
We're
gonna band together, bro.
The thing is, I find that I think there's just too much of this. Oh, we're competitors mentality.
There's too much of it. Absolutely, there is.
I mean, we have hundreds of million. We have over 300 million people in the United States that need health and fitness. The pool is huge. It's a huge ocean. And as many trainers as there are, we're just still a drop in the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the whole grand scheme of things. So, I mean, for us to sit there and say, no, I need all of it. No, there's such a huge ocean out there.
I agree.
You know, and to collaborate makes us all stronger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and if we can collaborate and bring out something that is going to be extremely beneficial for everybody, regardless of age, regardless of what they do, that only benefits everybody.
Well, especially when you talk about, you know, you talk about us being just a drop. I mean, there's only a very small percentage of us that are personal trainers out there, and then an even smaller percentage that are actually doing good. Yeah, that are doing good. I was trying to word it nicer.
Dancing around. Yeah. What the fuck? Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, I don't want to.
Like
wanna,
it is, son.
I don't want to offend a lot of trainers out there that are just getting started and learning. I mean, well, part of why we
like I said, we said we sucked in the beginning. It's okay.
Yeah. No, we all.
You got to learn. You got to put in your. You know. You got to put in your time. You got to own it and understand that you got to put in time to become good. There's a lot of trainers out there that, I mean, they should be paying their clients, you know, to work with them, not the other way around. You're like, fuck. Well, it's like, you should pay your clients for them to keep coming in, not have them pay you.
I always laugh when the client comes in and the trainer goes, okay, what are we working on today?
Right.
What do you mean?
What are you paying
them? Why are you asking them? You're the expert.
Dude, I would launch you as a trainer if you were for me.
Right? But yet these people stay.
I don't know if I've heard that one.
Never in my gym, bro.
There was one trainer in particular that we know that was every client, regardless of who they were, it was the same fucking question.
What are we working on today?
What the? They're paying you $100+ an hour for you to ask them? Are you kidding me? I'd be like,
go to the leg extension, back extension. We're going to start here. You're like, isn't that the same thing you just did with your last 10 people? But they would literally walk in and ask, what are they doing?
Yeah. You're like, that's crazy.
I mean, that's
shit.
A new concept to me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
How about we tell them what backwards. We're doing?
So, I don't know. Those that are listening, guys, where can our listeners find you guys? Where Instagram, social media?
Look up Stick Mobility, at Stick Mobility on Instagram. We're on Twitter. The Instagram and Facebook is our main venues right now.
Okay.
We have the website up, stickmobility.com.
Okay.
Neil is just jamming on the social media, so he has been kicking ass on that, so that's fantastic. And we have a lot of other things in the works, so DVD certifications and just getting it out there. Over the next 2 years, we just see a lot of growth potential, you know. And like I said, the feedback from the trainers that we've worked with has been awesome. And with other modalities, you just don't get that, you know. You know, you get certain things, and people go, "Okay, I like it," but you know, and then other trainers are like, "Nah, it's not for me." You know, but you get every trainer that's been in on what, and they spent some time with us and learning it, and they're just like, "Holy crap, this is insane!"
Yeah, I immediately saw that. You know, just going through your guys' class.
I think if you have half a brain, you do. If you're a trainer and you have half a brain, you kind of get it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but when you go through it, like it really does, like. It just triggers something that you're like, duh. And it's always the best ideas are always the ones that are most simple.
Simple. Right? Simplistic.
You need a stick. That's it.
And that's the thing. You're like, it's a stick. It's a fucking stick. I know. That's it.
I think when we took the teacher certification and did a testimonial, I think what I said was, this is simplistically brilliant.
That's it.
Because in 20 years, you know, and in 16 and in all of our years, we haven't found anything that's this beneficial to everybody, something that works this well and truly makes a difference. You know, we've used tons of modality. We love all kinds of different things, and they're great, but they don't touch on everybody. They don't work to the same degree. So it was the one thing. That's why we're like, let's just go. Let's run with it.
Yeah.
This is it. This is that one thing that's a game changer. And we just keep growing with it, you know, like we talked about before, and getting creative. I mean, even in our class, we'll be teaching and kind of come up with something new or a little tweak on it. Just boom. Oh, shit. Yeah. Here you go.
Yeah.
That feels great. Let's take this in. And you just run with it, you know. And I mean, it's good stuff. You know, our next good project is we're going to write a mobility chapter for a certification textbook.
That's right. Neil was telling me about that.
That's super cool. Awesome. Yeah, you know, I mean, good things are happening pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, it was a little bit. It's been happening in the last, since the IDA, you know, talking to NCEP and Mike DeMora there, you know, and he offered that to us, and we're like, oh, fantastic,
yeah,
you know,
right.
But then having the guys from Spry and some other groups, and they're like, this is brilliant stuff.
Like,
And I mean, one guy from the Olympic committee, he was waiting at the door for us when we left, and we're just like, holy shit.
You guys stick mobility?
He goes, you guys stick mobility? He goes, I've been looking for you guys.
Yes, we are.
And we're like,
yes, sir.
We're like, really? I mean, that's just pretty amazing. You're just like, holy crap, you know?
Yeah, it's cool.
And then getting, you know, and getting messages, emails, and contact from people that you're just like, holy shit, that's a big mover and shaker in the industry.
Yeah.
You know, so that's been pretty cool. So.
Rad. Well, I'm super excited for you guys. I was kind of waiting for, you know, you guys to latch on to something that was, you know, going to sort of take you guys to the visible public, because, you know, I know you guys are like real, you're super great trainers, and I wanted to see you guys, you know, get out there and help people. So this is like one of the best things I think that I've been able to see in the gym, and I expect big things for you guys. So
it was great. Thank you for having us on, man. When you said you guys wanted us on your podcast, we were super stoked.
Very cool.
So we were like, this is awesome. It's fantastic. So they, you know, we are super excited.
So check them out at Instagram at Stick Mobility and Facebook Stick Mobility and stickmobility.com.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.